a-passing by, and to ride these rails 'neath God's blue sky. Let me travel this land from the mountains to the sea, 'cause that's the life I believe he meant for me. And when I'm gone and at my grave you stand, just say God's called home, you rambling man.
Hello. This is international smooth jazz superstar Trey Magnifique, and you're listening to 90.5 WMUC FM College Park, because college radio is good radio.
From the Blue Ridge to the Bay, it's Watershed.
Well, it's official. We already knew that factory farming techniques wreak havoc on the environment and the Chesapeake Bay. Now, a report in the New England Journal of Medicine has shown that there are perils for humans directly as well. Recently, a 12-year-old Nebraska boy fell ill with salmonella poisoning. However, treatment with conventional antibiotics proved ineffective. Researchers determined that the boy had previously been exposed to a similar antibiotic that was being given to cattle on the farm where he lived. This exposure rendered his treatment ineffective and illustrates another reason why factory farming is threatening both the environment and the public health.
Watershed is a presentation of the Maryland chapter of the Sierra Club. For more information, call
012-777-1111.
Time about 4:30, there she was knocking on my door. Baby's back,
baby's back,
baby's back,
baby's back.
Got up and looked out the curtain. I was out to know for some. Baby's back,
baby's back,
baby's back.
listening to WMECFM College Park. Hello, and welcome to my show Chill Out, where we play different chill music every single week. Before we get into what the genre is for this week, I'm going to play a public service announcement.
Ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars.
Sign up for the weekly bike rides every Tuesday around College Park. Don't have a bike? Just rent it from the campus bike shop. Spending time outdoors has great benefits. It raises your vitamin D levels, it improves concentration and focus, helps you recover from injury and stress, and it may even mean more smiles throughout the day. To get more information, log on to crs.umd/Maryland Adventure Program. Hashtag stay active.
I can tell you about Lee Ferrickson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friends
are... All right, today's going to be something a little bit different from my normal shows. It is the last show, I believe. If not, I guess we'll be doing something different for next week, but it's the last show, so that means that I'll be doing, I'll just be running through some of my own music. It's like a set. I'll be talking about the production involved in it, different production skills used, and like sort of how those come into play, different techniques. So we're going to start off with a project that I finished last winter called Restructures. I'm going to play it all as a one shot. It's pretty short, but then we can go over the different songs and how they're made and different techniques that were used. So yeah, this is stuff by me. Let me pull it up. Yeah, so this is Layers by me.
Thank you. 04.
Yeah, so that was a project I worked on called Layers. There's a couple sort of guiding philosophies with that project. The first one is that, like, every single song essentially melts into another one, like, to the next one, almost like a DJ set. So some techniques that I was using for that is, like, a lot of BPM variation, which is a little bit unusual in, like, hip-hop or trap, which is what most of these songs would be, like, classified as. But lots of those parts, like in between songs, have like slowdowns or speed ups where the drum patterns will like maintain from one song and then like slowly get faded out to the next so that you don't really recognize it. That's also something that like you can't necessarily do with DJing, but you can do with production, which is kind of fun. Let me pull up the files then we can go through some of the different songs. Where is this? It's not showing up. My files are notoriously poorly organized. Where did this go? Oh, there we go. Okay. So, first song. Let's start right here. I like this one. This one's cool here. So, there's like a layer right here that's just this like vocal chop. We have this one underneath. Shout out if you can. I don't know. I don't know how familiar people are with the Titanic, but I don't think that. Whenever I show people this sample, they're like, "What?" It's like, "Na-na, wherever you are." It's the Titanic sample, but it does not, in the context of the other one, it does not sound like that at all. That's okay. And then, so those are like the two sample bases, and then everything else is all like software instruments, or I guess there's one more sample. Every single like song has this like layer tag. I thought that like the point of this like layers project is that like everything layers into each other in a sense, so that's why that tag's on like every song. My producer name is not Layers. And then we have different like software instruments, and most of these are just here to like add some more ambience. You can hear that they take up like the higher frequencies, especially like that like buzzing, and then when more things come in, it starts to fill out the sound with like more string instruments. And you'll actually notice that like specifically this like one flute in the background is like sort of like, it almost sounds like it's glitching. Here, I'll just play that now. Let's go back to right here. I think that sort of adds to like almost this like house idea where you're like going into a break, so you start like going four on the floor and speeding up and replaying specific parts. That effect is like the Logic Beat Breaker, which lets you like chop up the audio and replay specific parts really quickly. So that's like the intro, and then we can move on to the next one. Let's see, okay. Uh-oh. Maybe this one's not gonna... Oh, okay. That's so sad. Okay. None of the samples in this song, all of them were lost, so we're just gonna move on to the next song. Okay, this one's better. But I guess we can start right here. This transition part, there's this, like, outtake file, which is just the drums from the old one, like, all bounced together. And if you pay attention, you can hear that it's slowly getting lower pitched and also slower. And then it fades out right here, like very quietly. And that's sort of like how the transitions work between songs, is that there's one element that gets faded out while everything else gets faded in. So here I'll bring in these other things. And then it sounds like a natural transition point. This one's cool, the sample, in my opinion. One technique, too, that's used in this transition is there's actually two layers with the sample. Or actually, I guess I can get into that layer. But one technique throughout the whole song is that if you listen to just the sample right now, you hear certain parts that are being, like, cut out, right? Like, it gets really quiet randomly at different points. That's actually lining up with the kick drum, which is just like this sound. And what that does is it makes that kick sound a lot louder, because whenever that part of the sample is getting cut out or getting quieter, the kick comes in, and then I don't have to make the kick any louder, but because all the other sound is quieter, the kick sounds a lot louder and a lot stronger. That's a technique called ducking or sidechaining. Like all the variations in sound, in volume, and the sampler not missing, but if you listen right now, you can hear them. When I bring back the kick, then they're gone. The song uses a lot of different instruments for the drums. So there's like two. There's a kick. Then we got our snare. Then we got our hats. Says open hat and a closed hat. Then we have clicks. If you listen really closely, you can hear like a little like shaker click. And I believe that, yeah, I don't know what this, there's two click checks, but I don't really know. These are probably more, oh yeah, so what these are doing, I'm pretty sure that they both have, they're both like slightly different panned. So one's like, or it's not that they're panned. They sound like slightly further away from each other. Like that one's a little bit closer and the other one's a little bit further. It just adds more like human variation to make it sound like that. I think I did that through separate amounts of reverb. That's sort of that song. One thing that's interesting is I was talking about that ducking, but at the very beginning, when there's this intro part, I actually bring in an unducked version because we don't have that kick yet. So if I just solo this out, you hear that there's like no, let's move the drums. There's no like variation in the volume because it doesn't make sense in the intro to have those sort of like variations in sound. And then when I bring in the drums, I slowly also bring in the ducking. So you can hear more and more that the volume gets sort of cut out. There you go. Okay, yeah, so that's the second track. Let's move on. Oh, I like this one a lot. The reason I like this song is because it's a really, in my opinion, I mean, sampling, the technique of sampling is almost like, it's like musical collage. Like, you can have an Andy Warhol where you take a song and you like pitch it up and then like present it as a masterpiece. And like for some people that works. Other people think that's like stupid. It really is down to personal preference. I don't like when it's just taking like a song and then just playing it back. But I say that and I do that a lot too. But I like this song because the sample is like interplayed in a way that is very unique and like unusual. So I'll just play the sample. Once again, you can hear those like ducking artifacts. But like this sounds crazy. The way that I did this was I took the song, I pitched it up, and then I reversed it, and then I played specific like notes that I had chopped out. Normally what you'll do is you have a song and then you'll take like, you'll split it into equidistant parts when you're chopping it up to like rearrange it. That's what happened on the last song. But for this one, I chopped for specific notes that I wanted to hear. And then like after reversing them, I play those notes back in reverse. And then it made this like really like crazy sounding effect. Okay. Yes, that's sort of the sample. And then this one also has a very prominent bass. Another thing is that the bass and the kick both take up lower frequencies in like the audio spectrum. So when I'm talking about frequencies, every single sound like in the world is just like a big wave. I don't know if you ever have like opened an MP3 file and like zoomed in on like the audio, but pretty much every sound is just like a wave. And when you're making music, you don't want sounds to overlap and get in the way of each other. Specifically like a kick drum, which is a very low frequency, especially in like trap hip hop songs like this, where it takes up a low frequency spectrum, and then like a bass. Specifically, I'm using what's called the sub bass, which means that it just is like a very simple like wave that's in a lower frequency. So I really don't want these two sounds to either like mess with each other and cause audio artifacting, or to occupy the same space. And then whenever the kick comes on, it'll like make the bass like really loud because those two waves are getting added up. So what I'm doing here is what I talked about earlier, is I'm using that ducking technique. So whenever the kick comes in, you can't hear it right now, but when I mute the kick, you can hear that the bass sort of gets like muted randomly. And those like mute points are based on the kicks. So whenever I bring in the kicks, it sounds like it works together. So more ducking on the bass. Let's bring in the sample. Sample, of course, is also ducked. I really like the ducking. Ducking is really important in like hip hop trap music. Okay, I guess we can go over the drums now. A lot of my songs are like drums and sample, and then maybe bass, and that's the whole thing. So we have hats. Oh, and oops, kick's still on. We have hats. We have a lot more hats. So this is like an alternate pattern, just so that it doesn't get like boring. And there's some like rolls in there. This is also done through that beat breaker that I was talking about. And then it goes back to the normal one. But every now and then I throw a fill of the other one in. Oh, well, that was a snare fill. But I guess that's on the hat track, which is not correct, but that's fine. And there's just normal snares with those fills thrown in. Then we have a tambourine as well. Let me just solo that. Pretty subtle, but it adds a little bit of like percussive sounds. And then this is the whole thing. And if we take off all the mutes. Oh, and also there's this flute. Which is actually not a flute, it's like a synthesizer, but it kind of sounds like a flute. Oh, and then this song melds into a second, like, part. Which is, like, a little bit crazy. I like it, though. So as like a breakdown, this right here is a little bit unusual for me because most of my stuff is sampled. This is not sampled. This is a loop that I chopped up. I generally also don't use loops because I tend to stay in like the hip hop category, which is a lot of sampling. Nothing wrong with loops. I just don't personally like using them. But here I like took it, and then this, of course, like the speed is changed, the effects are added, and then like it's chopped up. So this is like the pattern that I made. Which is cool. It's a little bit like a little minor, but that's fine. And also, this part of the song sounds a lot faster than everything else. It really is not. It's only like 100 BPM. Like a normal house song is like, I think 140, 130. So it sort of is, compared to all the other stuff, it's fast, but compared to like popular music, not really. 120 to 140 range is what popular music is at. This is at 100. The rest of the album is at like an 80. But I just use techniques to make it not sound slow. So like in this first part, I mean, it sounds slow now listening back, but like all the hat rolls make it feel a lot faster. Okay, I guess we can go. The interesting part of this like second part song is the drums. There's just like a lot going on. There's also like that hey tag. So there's a lot of different like fills. And essentially that's just like me taking specific elements like the snares, the hats, the kicks, and then repeating them a lot or turning them off so that it creates like these interesting patterns. Once again, this is not typical, you don't hear like patterns like this in like trap music. I wouldn't categorize my music as like trap. It's probably closer to instrumental hip hop, but this is also not something that you'd hear in like instrumental hip hop. I don't know. It's fun. It's cool. All right, we'll move on to the last one. And then we'll move on to some other select songs that I've done in previous years, and then we'll call it. I really like this song. This one, if you listen to this radio station, then you definitely have heard the source of this sample before. But first we have this like intro, which takes that sort of like sample that I was using before, and of course it brings in this like layers sound, but there's a lot of different layering to the sound.
Layer 04.
And all of this stuff, every single sound right here is made with, I mean other than the hey of course, is made with this layer 04 like recording. Every single thing in here is made with this layer 04 recording. Which is cool. There's a lot of ambience things that you can do. So, for example, I took just, like, the end part of the original sample. I'll extend it a little bit. So, what happens is that when I was working on the song, I added a lot of effects to this, like...
Layer 04.
Or I didn't add a lot of effects, but the original sample that it's from has...
Four.
Has that, like, crazy, like... sounding thing at the end. And what I did was took it out, like I took it out of the song, and then I added like a lot of echo and stereo delay. So what that does is there's like, first of all, it's just echo, so it's like, and then the stereo delay is modulating which ear it goes to with delay. So it sounds like very atmospheric rather than actually sounding like part of any sample. And then when I play those back, I have them running. Every, like, they'll start on one ear and then it'll jump to the other ear. I don't know. My headphones don't have access to the right ear for some reason, but I'm hoping that you guys can hear that in the studio, the WMUC studio, the right ear. That's so weird. I didn't notice that. Yeah, well, I can't hear it, but hopefully you guys can. The right ear. Is it, like, not plugged in correctly? Oh, that'd be... No. So weird. Okay, well, anyways, it's panning between your left and right ear. Hopefully you can hear that. And then over here, there's that sort of like layers wording, just like layered a bunch of times, but with different like levels of repeating and delay. And of course, some like reverb. Reverb is sort of the sound that makes it like sound like it's far away or it's in like some sort of room. It's essentially like a type of echo. But yeah, so that's sort of like that intro tag. Cool thing about this tag, it's like it's from the like the anime Lane, which is like a it's a very obtuse anime. Like it doesn't really make any sense unless you're like willing to put. It's like more of an art statement than it is like an anime, which is not the case for like 99.9% of anime that are. Okay, maybe I'm being harsh, but anyways. It's like it's very avant-garde and it doesn't make any sense. But every single like intro they'd start off with like or every but before every episode they'd be like, "Oh, this is like layer 01, like how deep we're into the show." So I just took that. But what's funny is that like the voice that says that is just like the
layer 04.
It's just the default like Mac text to speech. So like the producers just like got an American computer and put it in like the default Mac text-to-speech and then like extracted that and use that in like their show, which had like budget, which I think is I don't really know how to feel about that. It feels like kind of like could you really not, I don't know. It's funny, so it's very replicatable. Yeah, that's the source of that sort of like layer sound, but we'll get into the actual song now. Enough yapping about all that. So there's that ambience and then the sample comes in. And something that's interesting about this song is that most of these songs have been created on an MPC, which is the MIDI Production Center, specifically MPC Live 2. It's basically a piece of hardware that allows you to create music. I like it. It's sort of, it's been used by like hip hop producers, specifically like 90s producers, which is like, I would say probably the biggest inspiration for my music. But this song, a lot less of it was created on the MPC than the other songs. Like the other songs, most of the stuff is created on the MPC. Then it's moved to Logic, which is like a very top end, like music production software up there with like FL Studio and Ableton. And then from there I track out the songs, which means that I arrange them and I like add in extra elements. Like in that very first song we went over, I was talking about how I added like the different string instruments. But for this one, a lot of like, this song was originally made for a rhythm game, which is why the drums are like really bizarre. But essentially what that meant is that I had to get MIDI data from it, and I didn't want to deal with, the MPC always exports like audio files, and audio is not MIDI. MIDI is like a file format that is for like music. Essentially it's for like arranging music and transferring music data between like live instrumentation devices. So a lot of this stuff is done on Logic instead of on, like, the MPC. First thing is just, like, the drums. These drums are, like, much more active by design because it was originally made for a game, and you're supposed to, like, be copying the drum pattern. at least this is, like, this was part of, like, a game jam, and, like, nobody, including myself, could like complete this song because it was so hard. Maybe I should have invited more drummers to my game jam, but yeah, it's just like the drums just have a lot more variation in them due to the nature of it being for like a game. And then we have these like claps, which are just like doubles, so they only come up over the previous claps. You'll hear that it sounds like it's a little bit offbeat, and that's because it is. This is a technique popularized by, like, Mr. J. Dilla, James DeWitt Yancey, during, like, the 90s for hip-hop music, where you would move stuff off-grid to make it sound more human. So when I add in these claps, which are shifted, like, a couple milliseconds to the left or right of where they should be, like, to be exactly on time, it sounds very human, like humans are clapping along with the song. Even though it's just like programmed in. And then, of course, I always have, like, some vocal, like, orchestral sounding thing in the background. I just like how it sort of rounds out tracks and fills up frequencies that are, like, in the mids, which is, I don't necessarily always use those frequencies, so it's good to have something there. And then I have, like, this, like, bell sound, which isn't really a bell. I don't know why I call it a bell. It's, like, more of a, like, a piano. And everything together is... Now, this is, like, a... So yeah, that's sort of how those songs were made. I really like the process of production. There's a lot of small things to keep in mind. Of course, this is like, I don't know, the closest genres are like trap and hip-hop for those songs, but also like, you'd never catch any rapper uses trap beats using any of those songs, and you never catch any like hip-hop rapper using those songs. So when I make music, it's more for like the instrumental than for the vocal. I guess we can go over some other songs that I worked on. These are from last year, as in 2 years ago, 2023 winter. Let's see. Let me find one that's interesting. No, we're not playing that one. No. Oh, that is a lot of stuff. Oh, I like this one. Okay. This is another two-parter, but we'll play it through and then we'll talk about it. This is probably... Maybe we'll get, like, two more songs on. We'll see. Oh. So this is from my project named Restructures, and the song is Nise. So that was Nice. Like double entendre there. Nice means, or I think it means like love you in like Swahili, but Nice also means second generation in Japanese. I'm not going to go any more in depth into the song title, though. We can go into the song instead. So the thing that's interesting about this song is it takes from a Roy Ayers song called like Ano Mo Like Nise, which is essentially, I think it's like, this means I love you or something in Swahili. But anyways, the original song sounds, I mean, this has a lot of processing on it, obviously, but it sounds something like this. And the thing that's interesting is that that's in 4/4 time, which means that if I play it back and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, so pretty much I'm counting in groups of fours. The vast majority of the song is in 3/4, though. I mean, my song is in 3/4. So let's play this. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So I used a technique where you take the original song and you sort of like chop it up with an alternate like time signature in mind. And then this ends up like, it's cool because the original song has grooves that are in 4/4. But when you shift them to 3/4, then you have this very interesting like polyrhythm aspect to the song. So at the beginning, a lot of the drums are just very straight, right? So I just solo these out. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But as we get further into the song and more drum elements get added, we get like these like tripla, 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 tripla on top of that like thing. So it's still adding to it. But we also have these other elements that are like, they seem to be like out of place. So we have these like, these snare taps that are in an alternate like rhythm, which is like creating the sense of polyrhythm. So right here, I'll play them back. Like, even in the context of the snare, or of the hats, it just like seems a little bit off. But it's because it's on a different rhythm. So now if we just single these two out, you can hear that. Oh, that's filling in those like swing blocks. Which is like interesting musical technique. Then if we keep on moving on, still got these triplets, keep on moving on. Then this becomes like swung with like more open hats, so the drums become like even more like polyrhythmic. And then, where is it? Why? There's one part where the drums like just changed. Yeah. Like these hats are just like doing like, this is not, I don't even know if this is like 3/4, but it works in the context of the song. Eventually what happens is the hats go back to it, and then everything like sort of resolves with like the sample resolves and the drums resolve, and it's like not all over the place. But sort of the aspect of the song that's interesting is that the drums are sort of, they're doing the most. And whether that's good or bad, that's up to you to decide. I think it's cool. So yeah, that's Nise. Let's move on to another one. Maybe we have time for like two or three more. I think I like this one. Yeah, we'll open this one.
Thank you.
So that was Future Sight by me. I like this one a lot. This also, like, I was talking about earlier how I like samples that do something interesting with the source material. This is like one of my favorite songs that I sampled here. And like, I've played this song on this station like at least like once per semester, but it's like, I mean, to me it's not, but to most people this is like completely unrecognizable, like, and I just like that a lot. Yeah, I think it's cool. The way that this is done is every single chop, every single part of the sample that I'm playing through, it melds into like the next part, and there's a lot of effects on like the pre-chop stuff, so it really doesn't sound like the original song when I'm chopping it, but then when I do chop it, it's just very out of order. And once again, I'm chopping on like notes rather than on I'm chopping on sounds here rather than on like transients or on the grid. So it's sort of, I'm like choosing which elements I want and laying them out. I guess we can go to the bass. It's a very typical like sub bass pattern where we just have like sort of matching those notes. And then last sort of, or I guess we have more, but we have this like crazy sounding like effect. I don't even really remember how I got this to like sound like this. I used the plugin. I know that I used a plugin called the Granulator, which it like takes parts of an original audio file and like gets different grains. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It just makes it like sound like really like, it's a lot. There's just a lot going on here, but this is like a pretty cool under track. And then the drums are interesting too. I talked about one of my favorite producers, Jay Dilla, James DeWitt Yancey, a little bit earlier, but his technique of sort of playing things off grid to make it sound a little bit more human. Of course, that's a little bit of an oversimplification, but these drums are really trying to sort of adhere to that style where things sound a little like, it was once described as like a baby playing the drums or like being a little bit drunk on the drums, where everything sounds like a little bit, it doesn't sound super tight, right? Like the snares are hitting a little bit early, the hats are a little bit like not perfectly on time, but it sounds like a good mix of human and computer. So that's that. Then we have some extra like added elements. We have these like little like shrill echoing sounds that come on every now and then. These just like sort of fill out the high end, continue to make the song interesting. And also something that's interesting is, I don't know if people notice this, but to keep this interesting, because this is just one loop through the whole song, right? There's a lot of dynamic stuff that I do, so I don't know if you heard that right there, but the sample suddenly became very muted to give more room to this like little shrill like sound effect. And then it becomes unmuted later on when that effect is done. So now it's more full. So there's a lot of little considerations like that need to come into effect. The other interesting, I guess there's two more things I can talk about. First, we have like, this like piano line in the background. And then we have a riser. Risers are generally used in like EDM music, but I don't know. Why not use it to signal like the next part? And then the very last part over here, we just have the whole song, but slowed down. Everything slowed down except for that weird pad that I talked about earlier. And then this really accentuates the, like, oh my god, drunk baby playing the guitar. I mean, playing the drum set. But yeah. Alright. That's it. If this is my last show, then thank y'all for listening. It won't be my last show ever, but this is, next semester will be my last semester, so that will be 4 years of having this radio show. So thank you all for listening to this semester, and hopefully I'll see you again next time. Goodbye, and Have a good weekend.